Chapter 4. Week 2, the Saturday after Labor Day, the number one TV show in America going live. The menagerie all had tickets, and here they were in the bleachers, wedged in among the great mass of Midwesterners who made up the studio audience, many of them wearing t-shirts and baseball caps with the names of the other studios whose tours they had undertaken earlier that day, making the most of their time in L.A. The warm-up guy was finishing his act now, the theme music starting up. Jesus, sweating in the wings, cradling his guitar. It had been a traumatic week, the first rehearsal week. When Jesus heard the studio orchestra playing his number for the first time, he'd calmly taken his guitar off, leaned it, feeding back against his amp, and walked off towards the dressing room.
"Will someone please turn that fucking guitar down?"
Barry, the conductor, screamed, not for the first time. Herb came shouldering into the dressing room after him. "What the fuck is this now?"
"What the fuck, Herb? What's with all those strings and fucking keyboards? There's none of that shit on the record."
"Come on, kid, we gotta sweeten it up some."
"Why?"
"Listen."
Herb came over, closing the door behind him.
"We got 28 of the best studio musicians in the country waiting around out there, some of them on double scale, and I have to take time out to argue with you about arrangements? Just do the fucking song, okay?"
"Uh-uh."
"Oh, man, if Steven gets word of this, you are out of here so fucking fast."
"There's guitar, bass, and drums on the track. That's all it needs.
Can I just use my own guys? I could get Chris and Morgan up here and we could..."
"Are you fucking insane?"
Herb sputters. "You're pissing Barry off by the minute. You want to change the arrangement, and now you want your own fucking dipshit band up there with you? Get your fucking ass back up there and do the number as..."
"He keeps telling me to turn my guitar down. That guy Barry."
"Listen, Mom and Pop and..." "Ah! If I have to hear about Mom and Pop in Oklahoma one more time, Herb!"
Herb sighed and leaned against the wall. This fucking kid. Week 2, and he'd given Herb more grief than he'd had in 2 seasons. But there was something. Yeah, it was fair to say Herb liked the little fucker. The door opened, and the inevitable girl with headphones and clipboard appeared.
"Herb, they need you guys out there, now."
"Yeah, yeah," Herb said.
"Look," he said, turning to JC as the door closed behind her. "I'll talk to Barry and get the arrangement stripped back some, okay? But there's no way you're going to get your own band up there. And watch it with the volume, huh? Lay off that overdrive pedal. This ain't CBGB's."
"Thanks, Herb."
"Yeah, yeah."
Stelfox had surprised Herb by acceding to a suggestion for JC's opening number so readily. It was, in truth, exactly the kind of music Steven hated. But Stelfox, a great studier of demographic breakdowns, of audience composition surveys, of Nielsen ratings, had his reasons. He had a hunch. If he was wrong, well, he'd kick that ragged madman's indie ass out of here quick style.
"Please," the warm-up guy's voice booms out of the studio speakers, "a huge round of applause for your host, Kevin Leary."
"Oh, man,"
Morgan whispers to Chris up in the bleachers.
"This is some showbiz shit right here."
An explosion of light as Leary comes bounding down the neon staircase to crazy applause. "Thank you, thank you," he says as the whoops and cheers die down.
"Well, here we are again. 12 hopefuls over the next 10 weeks with you, the public, choosing who goes and who stays. But you will, of course, be receiving some expert guidance along the way from our panel of judges. Time to meet the judges?" Whoops and cheers. "Shall we bring them out? Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Darcy D'Angelo."
D'Angelo coming out, gold dress, hair flowing, plump, perfect teeth reflecting the insane wattage of lighting pouring down.
"Darcy, how you been?"
"Well, Kevin."
"Damn," Morgan whispers. "How long does this shit go on for?"
"Shh,"
Becky says. Darcy babbles for a while, and then Stutz comes out and babbles for a while, and then Leary is saying,
and the man they all dread, the most feared Englishman in the Western world, more acid than an acid bath, Mr. Stephen Stelfox. The audience goes nuts as Stelfox, black suit and black open-necked shirt, takes measured strides onto the stage, nodding almost shyly at the applause, generally doing a perfect impression of a reasonable human being. "Stephen," Leary says, holding the mic out to him center stage as the cheering fades away. "Looking forward to this season?"
"Very much so, Kevin."
Stelfox is certainly looking forward to the coming season, considerably more than Leary, whose attempted salary renegotiations had been terminated by Stelfox just a few days earlier with the words,
"Listen, you little cunt, we're not paying you a red fucking cent more. And if you don't like it, why don't you fuck off back to stand-up comedy and presenting some fucking breakfast show on Radio Arkansas or wherever the fuck you came from?"
But Leary is a pro. He's managing to look at Stelfox with unadorned respect and affection as he says, "There'll be some great acts, some not so great, and I'm sure some will be downright awful. We'll have a few surprises along the way, as I think you'll see from the first number tonight. And at the end of the day, as always, it'll be you, the public, who decides." He manages to say "the public" as though they were the most precious words known to him. "Thank you, Stephen, the man himself." Stelfox walks off to take his seat at the long, logo-festooned desk with D'Angelo and Stutz. "And so," Leary continues, turning to the audience, "without further ado, to open tonight's show, a guy who's already been causing some controversy, from New York City, it's Jesus!" The audience screaming as the house lights go down.
"Oh, fuck," from Becky. "Man, I'm gonna shit my pants," from Chris.
And there is just black darkness for a second. Then an icy, underwater blue light fades up, along with a familiar, rippling guitar riff.
"No fucking way,"
Chris says immediately as the stage lights come up full, the bass and drums rolling in softly. JC stepping to the mic and singing,
"Come as you are,"
as spontaneous applause and whoops break out. The audience clapping along, cheering as the first verse rolls on. The judges watching, scribbling notes. Herb nodding along proudly. Darcy grinning, as always. Even Stelfox smiling as, at 1:23 exactly, the song reaches the first chorus proper. And Jesus, with the slightest grin as he thinks about Barry the conductor behind him, raises his foot over his forbidden overdrive pedal. The pedal is a vintage Ibanez Tube Screamer from 1984, one of the few items to have escaped the pawn store in recent weeks. It has the sacred D9 chip in the circuit board, and its volume has been preset to maximum. Jesus's battered sneaker presses the metal pad down as he scrubs his plectrum all the way along the screens from bridge to nut, and the Tube Screamer does what it does. It fills the studio with the sound of a 747 with a pair of cruise missiles strapped to it, coming screaming down onto the tarmac. Jesus screaming now, too, swearing that he don't have a gun as he leans into Cobain's guitar break, just a variant on the melody, really, turning round to face the orchestra, urging the song forward. Barry's back is towards Jesus as he waves his baton in a breaking fashion, trying to slow the tempo, but the drummer's into it, he and Jesus exchanging a grin as one lays into the hi-hat harder and harder, the other ringing the notes out of the guitar, close to his amp now, which is breaking up, on the verge of feeding back, the rest of the orchestra confused and panicking, trying to run with this altered script. Barely a couple of minutes after that, and Jesus is standing, facing the judges, sweating a little as the applause dies down. It's been confused applause, for sure. Some sections of the audience, the menagerie included, of course, going unreservedly nuts, while others, the older, theme park shirt-wearing contingents, are still scrubbing their pinkies in their ears, shaking their heads and shouting, "What?" at their neighbors.
"Boy, was that loud,"
Darcy begins. Herb is giving Jesus a thumbs up with both hands.
"So," Stelfox begins, "Nirvana. I think that's a first for the show, and hopefully a last."
"Aw, oh, get out of here, Stephen," Herb responds. "Kid nailed it."
"It's," Stelfox tails off, seemingly lost for words,
"the whole grunge thing. I mean, really, who cares?"
"Hey," Herb counters, "that's a great song. That album sold like 20 million copies. You're not telling me no one cares."
"Yeah, about 20 years ago it sold millions. The song's not terrible," Stelfox allows, "and I think there's a decent version to be done of it. But that wasn't it."
Jesus says, "What didn't you like about it?"
"Too sloppy. Too amateur hour. I mean, the whole thing sped up about halfway through."
"Hey, all rock and roll speeds up," Jesus says, as though any moron knew this to be true.
"Darcy?"
"I think you've got an amazing presence about you," she begins. "You play amazing guitar, but your material isn't really my kind of thing. So I'm afraid for me, it's a pass. Sorry."
"Hey, don't worry about it," Jesus says over some sympathetic oohs and ahs from the audience.
"Well, we know where Herb stands," Stelfox says. "So I guess it's down to me whether we put you to the public vote or not."
He pauses dramatically, tapping his pen on his pad. Jesus, standing there, nonchalant, his weight on one foot, the unplugged Gibson dangling by his side.
"Against my better judgment," Stelfox begins, "I'm going to put you through to next week."
"But," whooping and cheering, "but, and I can't stress this enough, you'll have to be a lot more discerning about your song choices and arrangements if you're going to progress very far in this show."
Herb laughs. "You try talking to this kid."
"Have you any idea," Stelfox says, turning back to Jesus, "how much experience this guy has?" He jabs his pen in Herb's direction.
"How many multi-platinum artists he's worked with?
If you want to stand a chance against the caliber of talent we have here, you'll really need to start listening to your mentor."
"Hey," Jesus says, "I like Herb. He's a cool guy, but
nah."
The audience cracks up as Herb shrugs in what-can-you-do fashion.